Morning. Today's off in Sanhedrin is Ayin Tes. We found ourselves an Ayin Tes in the base. Okay. And let's just quickly go back to the Mishnah on Ayin Chesem and Aleph, as that's really important just to follow along what's happening over here. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah on Ayin Chesem and Aleph in the very bottom for just a moment. So you hit a person either with your fist or with a stone, and you give him a real hard blow. And it looks like he's on his way out. It looks like he's in critical condition, and they did an assessment. And the assessment that they did said that he in fact is going to die. So right now, you're in a position where you're potentially a murderer, right? The only thing we're waiting for is for the actual victim to die. And then, so then what happened is that he had some recovery. Not a full recovery, but a mild recovery from the condition that he was in. So he went from critical condition to less than critical condition, right? Stable, right, that's good. No, that's a good way to describe it. So he went from critical condition to stable condition, and then he dropped back down to critical condition, and then he died. So according to the Tanakh of our Mishnah, you're chayev. And the reason why you're chayev is because he killed him. Meaning the fact that he had a little respite and he had a little break from being in critical condition, but still, ultimately, we're going to assume that the cause of death was you, and therefore, you are a murderer, and therefore, you're going to be executed. And Reb Nechemiah Omer Patush Raglam Ladavar. Now, Reb Nechemiah says that you're Patush because Raglam Ladavar. And the expression Raglam Ladavar means that we have reason now to believe it's suspicious that he had some sort of slight recovery. Meaning, it can now be argued, at least entertained, that you are not the cause of his death. Obviously, you didn't help matters. We could say that. But you're not the sole cause of his death. And we're not going to put somebody to death if we don't know for sure that you're the cause of somebody's death. And so therefore, Rabbi Nechemiah says that because there's Raglam Ladavar, because we are now suspicious, so the person is the alleged murderer is not going to be put to death. Okay, so that's the machlokas we saw in the Mishnah. As long as we're here, I'm just going to take it up right from here at this point in time. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezu Darsh Rabbi Nechemiah. So this is the drush of Reb Nechemiah. The Torah giving a description of somebody getting hit and then recovering. So the Torah says that if he's walking around, Al Mishanto. Now, Al Mishanto literally means on his cane. But as we pointed out yesterday, and I'm just going to reiterate today, here the Targum, if you look at Targum in the Pusuk over there, the Targum says that it's not that he just walked with a cane. It means he walked on his own strength. Meaning that he had a full recovery. And then what happens is that his condition went back down again, and he went back down into critical condition, and then he died. So what the Torah is telling us, at least at face value, is that if you hit a guy, looked like he was going to die, then he had a full recovery, and then he went and he died. So the Torah says, so you are not going to be assessed with or blamed for the death, and you're not going to be a murderer. And to which, if you read the pasuk the way I just described it, the Gemara now is going to be asking the obvious question. Like, what would you have thought otherwise? Would you really think that after experiencing a full recovery and then goes back into a less than stable condition and then ends up dying, do you really think that you're now going to be executed? Meaning, the man had a full recovery. So and so therefore what Reb Nechemiah says is that the Torah is not giving us such a black and white case. The Torah is giving us a much more muted and nuanced case. And the case in the Torah is just like what we described in the Mishnah. You hit him, they assessed that he was gonna die. Then what happened is that he experienced a mild recovery, a minor recovery, not a full recovery. Then he went back down into critical condition, and then he died. And because he had some respite, so therefore you are not going to be convicted of murder. That is how Rabbi Nechemiah understands the pasuk, because otherwise the pasuk would be making too obvious a point, and I wouldn't need the pasuk in the Torah to tell me such an obvious point. V'rabbanan. Now, obviously, the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Nechemiah. They are going to have to learn the same pasuk as well. What do they do with that pasuk? Malamed shechov shenoso. So the Chachamim say, what we do with that pasuk is very simple. Meaning, there is an interim period. He hit the guy did not immediately die. Now, if the guy is going to die as a result of your hit, so therefore you're a murderer. But what are we going to do with you in the meantime? So what the Chachamim learned from this pasuk is incarceration. Meaning that's what the Torah is teaching us here. That under that from the time that Jainim to the time that he actually dies, so you are going to be incarcerated, and that's the Chiddush HaKra. V'Reb Nechemya Chavisha Minala Yalaf Meim Mekoshesh. Now, as far as Reb Nechemya, he agrees that during this interim period, so the perpetrator is going to be incarcerated, but he learns that from a different pasuk. In fact, he learns that from the Mekoshesh Eitzim. V'Rabban, I'm sorry, and the Mekoshesh Eitzim, just let me spell this out, is the one who gathered wood on Shabbos in Parsha Shlach, and there the Torah says that we didn't know what to do with him. Moshe didn't know what to do with him. So in the interim period, he was incarcerated. V'Rabbanan nami lofa mimikoshesh. So the one of the chachamim also learned it from Mekoshesh as well. So Mekoshesh bar ketalu hu Moshe lahaviyad dekalei b'mai. And as far as the case of the Mekoshesh, what the chachamim will tell you is that that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekoshesh was subject to the death penalty. He just simply didn't know which death penalty he was subject to. But over here, however, it's different. Why? Because over here, we don't know if, in fact, he is subject to the death penalty or not. So in other words, Mekoshesh cannot be the source of this halacha of incarceration, because the case of Mekoshesh is fundamentally different. We knew that the person was going to die. It's just a question of Moshe didn't know which death penalty. Here, on the other hand, we don't even know. You hit somebody. Now, granted, he went into critical condition as a result of your hit. But we don't, at this point in time, you're not going to be Chayv Misa, and you won't be Chayv Misa until the person actually dies. And again, assuming that there was no recovery. So this can't be learned out from Mekoshesh. So what the Chachamim will say is, I need another source, and that's what the Chachamim do with our Pasuk. Rabbi Nechemya, Elav Mimigadev, Delo Havayada Ibar Ketalahu V'Chavshu. So, and as far as Rabbi Nechemya, what is he going to say in his own defense? So Rabbi Nechemya says, you're right. But I have another place in the Torah where the Torah also describes someone getting incarcerated, and that's specifically by the Megadev. So again, going back to the Torah, so the Torah brings down that somebody blasphemed against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure what to do with such an individual. And so what they did is incarceration. This is, by the way, found in the end of Parshas Amor, in Perek Chavdal Vayikra. So the Torah goes on to describe over there, Vayinichu b'mishmar, they put him in a prison, Lefrosh lahem al pi Hashem, in order to find out what to be done. So Reb Nechemya says, that's going to be the source. So Yalav Mimigad, de lo aviyad de ibar ketaluhu v'chavshu, v'rabbanan. Now what will the Chachamim say in their defense? Megade farosh ha'isa. So the Chachamim will tell you, look, I know about the incident of the Megadev, but the Chachamim will say that that cannot be used as a source, as a source model of what to do in general when a person clubs another and the death does not happen imminently, and we're going to have to wait until he actually dies or recovers. And even though by the Megadev, I know he was incarcerated, but what the Chachamim will say is that is a unique circumstance, and I can't learn out from the Megadev. Why not? Because the Gemara quotes the following price, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemekoshesh b'miso, Shenema mechala mos yimas. Look, when it came to the Mekoshesh, so Moshe knew that he was going to be subject to the death penalty, because the Torah says that somebody who is in violation of Shabbos, mos yimas. Ella lo haya yodeh beiza misa nerak, just simply didn't know how he was going to die. Shenema kilo parash. That was the story regarding the Mekoshesh, and that was incarcerated. Ava megadif lo nemer bo ella, Lefrosh lahem al pi Hashem. But if you look carefully in the pasuk by the Megadev, at this point in time, what Moshe didn't know was not, oh, I know he's going to die. It's just, I know we need to execute him. It's just a question of which execution. Moshe didn't even know that he was subject to Misa. So, I'm sorry, Lefrosh lahem al pi Hashem, Shalaya Moshe Yodei Imaya ben Misa kol Iker. Imlav. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know that he was subject to the death penalty at all. And so therefore, they were incarcerating him not because they wanted to see which penalty to give him, but to see which penalty at all should be given to him. So where do we stand right now? So by the case of the Mekoshesh, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was subject to the death penalty, didn't know which one, therefore incarcerated him just simply to find out. By the case of Megadev, what the Chachamim will tell you is that under those circumstances, Moshe simply didn't know what the penalty was at all, and therefore he was incarcerated. We're discussing a scenario in which a guy hits another. It looks like he's going to die. They assess that he was going to die, But again, there's no, obviously we're not going to convict the person until the person actually dies. During this interim period, what do? So from the Chachamim and from Rabbi Nechemiah's standpoint, he will be incarcerated during this interim period. It's just a question now of where do we learn it from? So the Chachamim will not learn it from the Mekoshesh and will not learn it from the Megadev. The Mekoshesh because Moshe Rabbeinu knew to kill him, just a question of which one. By the Megadev Harasha Haisa, Moshe didn't know that he was even subject to the death penalty at all. So these are not two sources. So therefore, we go back to the original Pasuk of Am Mishantov Nikam Akeh, that we wait until he recovers. And by waiting until we recover, what do? While waiting, we incarcerate the perpetrator. So that's how the Chachamim set it up. As opposed to Rabbi Nechemiah learns this halach of incarceration. Either he learns it out from a Koshish, or he learns it out from a Gadi, if he learns it from one of those two. And what does he do regarding the Pasuk? So as far as the Pasuk of the person recovering, so Rabbi Nechemiah will tell you is that in order to be acquitted from murder, you don't need a full recovery. Even a partial recovery will result in acquittal. Okay. That is how all the shitas line up, and that's how they all learn it from the various sources. Bishlam of the Rebbe Nechemiah. Now, in order to appreciate and understand the next piece of the Gemara, so let's take a look at Rashi. Now, Rashi over here takes us through the Pesukim, and Rashi writes as follows. Da'amar, Shekoach. Da'amar, v'nika amaka amdua lamisa v'haka v'chazu v'ichbid asa. Okay, we are now discussing the scenario in which we discuss in the Mishnah, which is that the person was hit with what seemingly is a critical blow, and he experienced a mild recovery, some recovery, and then he went back down into critical condition, and then he died. Now again, what's the status of the perpetrator, of the hitter? So, according to the Chachamim, subject to the death penalty, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, is going to be acquitted from the death penalty. Again, the Mishnah's language, raglaim ladavar, it's suspicious. Meaning, we don't know now that the murderer was in fact the murderer. Meaning, was the sole cause of death. That's where we stand right now. Machlokes between Rabbi Nechemiah and the Chachamim. I'm reading Rashi. Bishlam al Rabbi Nechemiah. It's halfway down the Amud. Damar v'nika amakal amdu l'misa v'haka v'chaz v'ichbid asa. Haynu dechsev trey kra. Yisera l'umdina. The imbal l'amdina sh'achuvu b'chaver chay b'ripu v'shevis k'damastik shifto yitain. Nichto v'ikaz re'eo b'evno b'ergo v'navol l'mishkav shifto yitain v'rapo yirapay. V'lo yamus yisera hu l'midrash. I know I read a lot. To put it succinctly, if the Torah's interest is just simply telling us that, if in the event the person doesn't die, so you have to pay the bodily damages, as detailed in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, the Torah could have written really succinctly, shifto yitain v'rapo yirapay. You pay for disability, you pay for the medical bills, the Torah could have just said it really succinctly. But then the Torah's talking about making some sort of recovery, he's standing on his own, all that is superfluous. So Rashi goes on to say, v'chein, im yakum v'yisalech b'chutz. And also, the next pasuk is also superfluous. If he gets up and he goes on his own. Again, if the entire pasuk is just to simply tell us about the payments of disability, medical bills, etc., the Torah could just simply say it. Without having to give us all these details about walking on his own accord, etc. And so now what the Gemara is going to be doing is spending the next couple of minutes explaining what all these superfluous phrases in the Pesukim are coming to teach us. Bishlama, so we are in the Gemara, halfway down on Ayin Chesam and Beis, Bishlama L'Rab Nechemiah, Hayinu Dichsiv Trei Umdana. So in the Pasuk, there actually are two extra phrases speaking to two different assessments. Chad Amdu L'Misa V'Chaya. V'Chad Amdu L'Misa V'Hakel Mimashahaya. Now, what are the two assessments? So it goes like this. And again, I'm looking at Rashi. First wide line on the page. Assessment number one goes like this. Right, the guy hit him, and again, it looked like it was a really, really hard blow. However, it looked like a critical blow. They went to Beis Din, and Beis Din said, "Yep, we agree." And again, when I say Beis Din, I suggested yesterday, I'm going to suggest again today. It could be that Beis Din had some sort of medical expert on staff or on hand. Okay, in other words, somebody who was able to make these kinds of assessments. So they went to the Beis Din did an assessment, and the Beis Din said, "Oh, yeah, oh no, no, for sure he's going to die." Then what happens? Full recovery. Okay, I might have thought that since Beis Din issued a declaration that the person is going to die, so maybe look, the fact that it recovered, maybe Chasdei Hashem, maybe that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for his infinite wisdom and reasons, decided that he's going to be miraculously saved. But ultimately, you did give a death blow. The person should have died. Beis Din made an assessment that he was going to die. So I might have entertained the idea, the fact that he didn't die, that doesn't get you off the hook. And therefore, you should be put to death. So the first umdana, the first assessment that the Torah is making reference to, is going to be, under those circumstances, if he recovers, you're going to be off the hook. Now there's a second assessment mentioned in the Torah. What's the second assessment coming to teach me? So according to Reb Nechem, it's very simple. The second assessment is coming to teach me in the event that he doesn't experience a full recovery, but even a partial recovery, and then goes back into critical condition and then dies. So under those circumstances, that's the second occasion where, according to Reb Nechemya, you, the perpetrator, are going to not be executed. Okay, back to the Gemara. So, Chad Amdua Lemisa V'chaya, Chad Amdua Lemisa V'akami Mashaya. So according to Reb Nechemya, I understand the need for two extra phrases in the Torah. El Rabban Shoyam Din Alamali. But according to the Chachamim, why two? Now remember, the Chachamim disagree with Reb Nechemya. If he went into critical condition, had a partial recovery, and then went back into critical condition and died, according to the Chachamim, you're going to be chayiv. So the truth of the matter is that the Chachamim fundamentally disagree with Reb Nechemya on that particular case, and so therefore, according to the Chachamim, there is no drasha to be made, or I should say better, there is no second drasha to be made. So now, Amdula Misa V'chayiv V'chayim Amdula Chayim Umeis. So the Gemara explains like this, where, let's say, so according to the Chachamim, that you have to concede there are two superfluous phrases. One is to describe what we described initially, where you hit him. Beis Din said he's for sure going to die. Okay, he miraculously recovered. Again, same story I said previously. I might have thought that because Beis Din said he was going to die, so therefore you should be subject to the death penalty. But if he recovered, you're not going to be subject to the death penalty. Okay, and there we have agreement between the Chachamim and Reb Nechemya. But here now is where you're going to have disagreement. There has to be disagreement. We know there's disagreement because in the Mishnah, the Chachamim argued with Reb Nechemya. What are they going to do with that extra phrase? Here's what they're going to do. Let's say you hit a guy and they did an assessment. And Beis Din said, oh, he's not going to die. Meaning their assessment is that obviously you shouldn't have done, obviously. You shouldn't have done it. It was, but it's not, you did not issue a critical blow. And then what happens is that he ended up dying. Because Beis Din said that what you did is not a critical blow, so even though he died, you're going to be acquitted. You're going to be exonerated. And when I say exoneration, by the way, I don't mean, you know, you're a good guy. You're not. You hit somebody, you know, and ultimately he died. But because the assessment of Beis Din is that it wasn't your blow that killed him, so therefore you're not going to be convicted. V'Rebbe Nechemya, Amdu L'chaim Ameis L'Tzarech Krosh, Arei Yatsumi Beis Din Zakai. Now, the Rebbe Nechemya agrees with the Chachamim on that point. It just happens to be that Rebbe Nechemya will say to the Chachamim, I don't need a drasha to teach me that point. If you hit somebody and then there was assessment made at the time after, right after, immediately after you hit him, and the assessment is that he's not going to die, so that's it, you're acquitted. I don't need a pasuk in the Torah to teach me that you're acquitted. Obviously, you're going to be acquitted. The fact that he died subsequent is not you, and or cannot be solely attributed to you, and therefore you're not going to be executed. Tana Rabbanan. Hamakets chaver v'amdu l'misa v'chaya poshen oso. You hit a friend, and the assessment was that he was going to die, and then he recovered, so you're going to be exempt. Amdu l'misa v'akame mashaya omdem oso omed sheni l'mamon. So, if let's say the original assessment was that he was going to die, then he had a partial recovery, so then the assessment now is going to be monetary damages, meaning, as long as now you're not a murderer, so now you're going to have to pay for those damages, like the Torah says. Raki shifto yitem v'rapo yirapei. V'yem la'acher kenich binomeis halach acher umenemtzai. Divrei Rebbe Nechemya. Now, let's say he subsequently went back into critical condition and he died. So are you a murderer? So according to Rebbe Nechemya, you're not. In other words, and therefore we're going to go back to that middle assessment, which is that you're going to have to pay the family money. Because if you're not going to be convicted for the murder, then you have to pay for the financial damages that were done. And the Chachamim say no. Meaning that if he had only a partial recovery and then he died, so according to the Chachamim, you are a murderer, and therefore the assessment stands that you're Chayav Misa. Tanya Yidach, we're going to do one more braisa on this topic. Amdu lamisa omdim oso l'chaim. L'chaim ein omdim oso lamisa. If he was assessed to die, so a later assessment can assess that he was certainly that he wasn't going to die. And if he was assessed that he was going to live, ein omdim oso lamisa. So then after that point going forward, you can't reassess and say, oh no, he's in fact going to die. Amdu lamisa v'hakom imasha hayo omdim oso. So, if let's say you hit him, he was assessed that he was going to die, had a partial recovery, then went back into critical condition and then died. So again, this braisa tells us that because he had a partial recovery, so therefore you're going to pay the family money, but you yourself are not going to be convicted. In terms of the financial damages, when are they assessed? From the time that you hit him. Meaning that the assessment is going to be immediately prior to the hitting and immediately following the hitting. At a later point in time, if we're assessing the financial damages based on whatever partial recovery he had, so then that financial assessment is going to be less. So in order to assess the true financial damages that were done, assuming you're not a murderer, so then we're going to be assessing it from immediately before the strike to immediately after the strike. Ad kan divrei ha-braisa, the end of this braisa. But who is this braisa clearly holding like? Where the braisa says, you hit him, they assessed he was going to die, he had a partial recovery and then he dies. So this, and the braisa says, you're not going to be convicted of murder, but you're just going to have to simply pay the financial damages that were incurred. Stama ki Rebbe Nechemia. Obviously the author of this braisa holds like Rebbe Nechemia, not like the Chachamim. Okay, to recap all this, because there was a lot of information and I went through it very quickly. I know I did. To recap, basically what we have over here is a basic debate between the Tanayim where you strike him, you give him a death blow, it was assessed that it was a death blow, and then he experiences some partial recovery. And then he goes back into critical condition and then he dies. So what do we say vis-a-vis the person who hits him? The possible murderer. Is he going to be deemed as a murderer? Machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Nechemia. Tanakama says he is going to be given the responsibility and the liability of murder, and therefore he's going to be put to death. Rabbi Nechemia says no. The fact that he had a partial recovery now leads us to suspect that you're not the sole person responsible for his death. Other causes contributed to his death, and so according to Rabbi Nechemia, you're not going to be executed. And then what we've done since that machlokas of the Mishnah is we went through the Psukim. How did Rabbi Nechemia learn the Psukim? How did the Chachamim learn the Psukim? We spoke a little bit about the incarceration during this interim period. Where is that learned from? Mekoshish, Megadiv, perhaps neither. Okay, Adkan. But that takes us through the end of that discussion. We now move on to the next Mishnah. This next Mishnah over here is going to be describing and detailing what if you kill somebody but not the person you were intent on killing. As we're going to learn together in this Mishnah, it's really a fundamental machlokas between the Tanayim. You do kill somebody, but not the person you were actually intent on killing. Right? This is as the Gemara describes it, this is the classic language of the Gemara, which we've seen time and again, and today is the daf to discuss it. Niskaven lezeh v'harag etzeh. You really were intent on killing one person, and your hand, your weapon, the bullet went stray and hit somebody else. So, again, I'm going to say what I've said now for the last number of days. I just want to make this point clear. It's an obvious point, but I simply don't want to understate it. Even though, as the Gemara is going to say, there is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which parenthetically, by the way, the Rambam does in fact hold like, which is that, Niskaven lezeh v'hikad zeh pater, that if you were intent on killing one person, you end up killing another person, you're going to be exempt. Exemption simply means that you yourself are not going to be executed. That's the only thing exemption means. Meaning, is what you did heinous? Absolutely. Is it a crime? 100%. Is it aser? Also 100%. It just is that from a legal standpoint, in order for a person to be subject to Mises Bidei Adam, it has to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, Chachamim are going to disagree, but it has to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, that you had to kill the person that you were intent on killing. Okay? Just, I put it out there, make it nice and hopefully very clear. Right, this is obviously not a professional killer. If it were a professional killer, he would kill the person. Right, he would kill the person he was intent on killing. Niskaven la'arug is the bame of arug is adam. We're going to have a number of cases in the Mishnah where he accidentally killed a person, and that wasn't his intent. So let's say that he was aiming at the animal, and he missed, and he hit a person, and he killed a person, or lo v'kocham la'arug is Yisrael. Or let's say he was looking to kill a non-Jew and he ended up killing a Jew. Okay? Slightly indelicate, but that's fine. I'll spell it out. A person kills an oviko chavim. So again, is it a crime? Absolutely. Is it murder? Sure. Absolutely. Is he subject to Mises Bide Adam? Is he subject to the death penalty? No. No, he's not. Okay? It's and you can make the argument, and I've heard this before, and forgive me, I don't have a source for this off the top of my head, but it could be that the reason why he's not subject to the death penalty is because, remember, part of the death penalty is a kapara. It serves as an atonement. And when a person kills a non-Jew, so it's a chil Hashem, they desecrated God's name, and even with Mises Beis Din, it wouldn't be enough of a kapara. Okay. For our purposes right now, we don't have to stand the philosophy. I understand. It's, you know, it's...
That makes it sound worse to kill a non-Jew
than
a Jew.
Okay. Again, I'm...
Because a Jew, then, you're deserving to be...
I'm going
to
be honest with you. Yeah. It's an interesting topic, and I am an interest in general. Right now, I'm not interested. Meaning, I'm just interested in the basic idea of the Mishnah, in which is trying to communicate to us that if I have an intent to kill something that's not subject to the death penalty, and I end up killing somebody that I am subject to the death penalty, so what we're going to be learning together is that you are going... Well... Of course, it has to be premeditated. But it's not that. Well, as you'll see in just a moment, it's not going to be that simple. But okay, so iskaven laharog. I'm sorry, lovi kocham laharog is Yisrael. So your intent was to kill a non-Jew. You ended up killing a Jew. Lenefalim laharog is ben kayama. Let's say there were two infants. One was a stillborn. The other one was a viable infant, and you ended up killing the stillborn. Now the stillborn's heart was beating and it was breathing, but being that it was a nafel, right? I'll give you an example. The Gemara says that a baby coming out during month number 8. Now, obviously, this is no longer the way our world works, and this is no longer the way the natural world works. But in the time of the Gemara, still up until the time of the Gemara, they were working with a reality, an assumption that a baby that was only went through 8 months of gestation and comes out in the 8th month is what's called a nafel, and the baby's not going to be viable. And even though the baby is breathing and pulse and everything, it's not viable. It is at that point in time deemed a eno ben kayama. So you were looking to kill the nafel, and by accident you killed the ben kayama. So patras, in all these cases, you're going to be exempt. Okay, and again, the exemption comes about by the fact that you were not intending on killing a Jew. That wasn't your intent. It was accidental. And so what the Mishnah is telling us is that you're going to be exempt under those circumstances. Now, inferentially, what is the Mishnah telling us? It seems pretty clear that if I was intent on killing one Jew and I end up killing another Jew, I'm going to be chayiv. Right. Stay tuned. Okay, now we're talking about striking a person. Excuse me. The word masnav is basically a description of his lower torso. Okay. If you're going to hit somebody in the lower torso to kill him, the Gemara's assumption, the Mishnah's assumption is that you're going to have to hit with a lot of force. A significant amount of force. As opposed to if you hit him in the chest. So you have to strike him, obviously with force, but not as much. The Mishnah picture now gives us the following depiction. Where you're looking to hit him in the lower torso, you, knowing that you want to kill him, are going to be going through a tremendous amount of force, but not enough if, in fact, you hit him in the lower torso. What happened was is that your aim was off. You hit him in the upper body. You hit him in the chest. You ended up killing him. So once again, as a technicality, you're going to be part, you're going to be exempt because you were not intent on killing him. You were certainly intent on hurting him, but not killing him.
Right now, I
understand. It's, you know, there are a lot of follow-up questions. Okay, right now we're just, I want to just simply focus on the idea, the basic idea of the Mishnah, which is that in order to be subject to the death penalty, there has to be an intent to kill. It's kamla lakos alibo. A person is, let's say you intend on hitting him in the heart, in the chest, vehaya, and we're on the now on the top of ayin tetzim and aleph. Vehaya bakadela hametz alibo. And it was certainly enough force to kill him, if in fact you made contact with the chest. V'hachala al-masnav. But then your aim was off, and you hit him in the lower torso. V'lo haya bakadil ha-mas al-masnav. Now, the force here generated should not have killed him. Because again, you were aiming for the chest. So, really the force should not have killed him. Umes, pater. And then he died, so you're going to be exempt. Because you didn't generate enough force to kill him, considering that you ended up hitting him in the torso, not in the chest. So the fact that he died, so again, as a technicality, so you're not going to be subject to the death penalty. Let's say you were looking to hit an adult, and you miss, and the force that you were generating would not be enough to kill the adult, but you miss him, you hit a child, you kill the child, so umeis pater, so you're going to be exempt. Because again, that wasn't your intention. Your intention was not to hit somebody to the point of death. Conversely, if you were looking to hit a child with the force to kill the child, and then you miss, and you hit an adult, but it was not enough force in order to kill the adult, and the adult dies, so once again, as a technicality, you're going to be exempt simply because you did not hit him with enough force to kill him. Aval. Here we go. Let's say you're looking to hit a person in the lower torso with enough force in order to kill him. And then what ends up happening is you miss the lower torso, you hit him in the upper portion, and he dies. So under those circumstances, you're going to be liable. Because what do we have over here? We have everything necessary. Were you looking to hit him with lethal force? The answer is yes. Did you end up hitting the person that you were looking to kill? Yes. It happens to be that instead of hitting him in the lower torso, you hit him in the upper chest. But, in other words, check off every box. Intent to kill? Yes. Enough force to kill? Yes. Therefore, you're subject to the death penalty. If, let's say, you were looking to hit an adult with enough force to kill the adult, and you're missing, you hit a child, and you end up killing the child, you're going to be chayef. And again, you could check off all the boxes. Was there an intent to kill? Yes. Was there enough force generated in order to kill the intended victim? The answer is yes. You ended up not hitting the intended victim, but you ended up hitting somebody else. But still, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, you had the intent to kill. You were going to give enough force in order to kill, so therefore you're going to be chayev. Okay, that was a lot. And all of this now comes into contradistinction of the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilin iskam la'aragazev, aragazev pater. And Rabbi Shimon says that, even though you were intent to kill somebody, even though it was enough force to kill that person, and what ends up happening is that instead of killing that person, you kill another person, and both of them would have brought about a Mises Beis Din, Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be putter, you're going to be exempt. For Rabbi Shimon, the death penalty only comes about when there has to be three boxes checked. You intend to kill that person, and specifically that person, you with enough force to kill that particular person. I'm sorry, let me do that again with the three boxes. Intent to kill, enough force to kill, and intent to kill that particular person. So Rabbi Shimon, in order to be subject to death penalty, all three boxes have to be checked. As opposed to the Chachamim, you only need to check the first two boxes, not the third box. According to the Chachamim, was there intent to kill? Did you have enough force in order to kill? If those two boxes are checked, so then you're going to be Chayav Misa. And according to the Chachamim, that last box does not need to be checked. Meaning that if you were intent to kill one person, you end up killing another person. So according to the Chachamim, you're going to be chayv. The only time the Chachamim say you're going to be pater is if the original person or animal that you were intent to kill would not have brought about the death penalty, and you ended up killing a Jew that would have brought about the death penalty. Under those circumstances, you would be pater, you would be exempt. Okay.
So the Libo case, he still reached
So on the Right. Rabbi Shimon would agree on the libel case, right? Because it's the same person. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shimon Ahaya. Now, Rabbi Shimon did come up at the end of the Mishnah, but which case in the Mishnah was he commenting on? Ilema Sefa. Now, was he commenting on the last case of the Mishnah? That in of itself makes sense. The language doesn't work because Rabbi Shimon Potami Baile. The Mishnah should have just ended up by saying, Elcham Elcham Sayer Chayev, Rabbi Shimon Poter. But if you look back at the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah carefully at the very end, that's not what Rabbi Shimon says. Rather, it says Rabbi Shimon Omer, as if he's commenting on something else. So, Ela Areshin, Eskav La'arug, Zabayim of Arug, Zahadam, Lo'ovi, Kocham, V'arug, Yisrael, and Nefal, V'arug, Ben Kayama, Poter. Rabbi Shimon's commenting on the first case of the Mishnah, where, again, in the first case of the Mishnah, your intent was to kill either an animal, or a Nachri, or a Nephil. So in other words, someone that would not bring about the death penalty. And by mistake, you ended up killing somebody who would bring about the death penalty. So the Tanakhama says you'd be Pater. Now, again, I've made this point already back in the Mishnah, but let's make it again. The clear inference of that first part of the Mishnah would be, and the Gemara here spells it out, that if your intent was to kill somebody who would bring about the death penalty, you missed him and you ended up hitting somebody else, you'd be Chayev. So on that, Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree. In order to be subject to the death penalty, there has to be, again, three boxes. Intent to kill, enough force to kill, and you were killing the person that you actually intended on killing. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ephelin, Skam, La, Arugazev, Arugazev, Panter. Okay, and I know I'm going through the Gemara quickly today, but it begs the question, Rabbi Shimon could also be arguing on the last case of the Mishnah as well. Why is the Gemara, what do we gain by having Rabbi Shimon arguing on the first case of the Mishnah, or I should say better, the inference on the first case of the Mishnah as opposed to the last case of the Mishnah, see Rashi. In the meantime, however, I'm going to go on. Okay, so here. Pshita kai Reuven v'Shimon v'amar anu l'Reuven kamechavna l'Shimon lo kamechavna hainu pluktayu. So the Gemara says, where do Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim argue? So the Gemara says, let's spell out the case very clearly. There are two people in front of you. There's Reuven, there's Shimon. And I'm saying to everyone around me, I'm going to kill Reuven. Okay, I make my intention very clear. I want to kill Reuven. And what happens is you miss and you hit Shimon. So there, clear disagreement between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim say, look, you intend to kill. You used enough force to kill. The fact that you ended up killing somebody else, according to the Chachamim, you're a murderer. Murderer meaning subject to the death penalty. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon will tell you no. The only time the Torah is demanding a death penalty is only when you kill the person that you were intent on killing. Fine. The Gemara says, in that case, clear disagreement between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. However, Amar l'chad minay omai. But here's now where it gets cloudy. Let's say there are two people in front of you, Reuven and Shimon, and right now, and again, we can come up with a whole scenario of the drama and why, but right? I don't care about why right now. We're just right now trying to conceive of where there may not be disagreement. Let's say I'm going to kill one of the two. I don't care which one. It has to be Reuven. It has to be Shimon. No, I'm just going to kill one of them. And so now you make that your intent, and you end up killing one of them. Now again, according to the Chachamim, for sure you're going to be Chayev. What would Rabbi Shimon say in that case? So the Gemara says, Inami, Kesav Reuven v'nimsa Shimon. Or another case where it's cloudy, meaning it's unclear, is where the person says, I'm going to kill Reuven, and it turns out that it was Shimon. Meaning, he killed the person he was intent on killing, but he was just confused about his identity. What would Rabbi Shimon say in such a case? My, Tashma. D'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashimer Laplonin Nimiskavein. So the Gemara says, yeah, I can hear those as being questions, but the Gemara says, but I know the Braisa, and the Braisa couldn't say it any clearer. For Rabbi Shimon, the only time a person would be subject to the death penalty is where he makes it perfectly clear that I'm intent on killing so-and-so. And under any other circumstance, either he didn't really care who he killed, or he was confused about the identity. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Shimon gives an exemption from the death penalty. My time is the Rabbi Shimon Amakra Vara of Love Akama Love. Ashi's Kavin Lo. So now the Gemara says, where does Rabbi Shimon get this halacha from? So he learns it from the Pasuk. The Torah, in describing murder, says that he ambushed him and he jumped on him. Okay, v'arav lo v'kam alav. Right? It seems from the Torah that in order to be subject to the death penalty, there has to be not only an intent to kill, but there has to be a clear intended victim. If there was not a clear intended victim, so then not subject to the death penalty. Ashis kavin lo v'rabbanan amidebe rabbiyana prat lezorik evin lego. So now with the Chachamim, now they're also going to have to grapple with this pasuk. They know about this pasuk. And what do they do with this pasuk? They use this pasuk to teach me a different halacha, and that's the following. Where the person throws a stone into a crowd of people, it kills one of the people, and we don't know who the identity of that person is. Now, Yechidami, what exactly is that case? Ilam adika tisha kusim ve'echad Yisrael b'nehem. Let's say there were nine non-Jews and one Jew in a crowd. And he ended up killing one of those, and for whatever reasons, we don't know which one he killed. Statistically, probability-wise, who did he end up killing? The non-Jew, because there were nine of them. So typically, the rubakutim ninu. So now again, like we said in the beginning of from the Mishnah, okay, it doesn't the murder of a kusi is murder, just doesn't bring about the death penalty. And so under these circumstances, is he going to be subject to execution? Of course, the answer is going to be no. Because now there's a 90% chance that he's not subject to execution. So we're not going to execute him. Inami pago pago safik nefash l'sahaka. The Gemara says, and look, even if that crowd is 50-50, right? Five Jews, five non-Jews. And he killed one of them, and again, we don't know which one. So, but they are 50-50. We're not going to execute somebody based on a 50-50. In other words, the person's, and I know I repeat myself on this point, the person's a bad person, the person's a criminal, he violated a crime, he committed murder, but in order to be subject to execution, so the Torah only executes for the killing of Yisrael, not that of a Nachri. So here, if five are Yisrael and five are Nachri, so that's 50-50 should be executed. For 50-50, you're not going to execute him. Lo tzricha deika tisha Yisrael v'kusi echa b'neim. Davele kusi kavu v'chol kavu kemechza mechzadami. So here comes the Gemara with a concept that comes up a number of times throughout Shas. And here, by the way, Rashi says, this is the source for this halacha. And what's the halacha? The halacha of Kavua. Okay, I'm going to try to explain it. It's difficult to give rational explanation to the halacha of Kavua. I could just say it. It's a matter of fact, meaning matter of halachic fact. If you want to try to understand it, I've been trying for some time. I may not end up rationally understanding it, but that's fine. Meaning, it's a gzeres hakasav. If I have a mixture, tarovis, of, you know, whatever. In this case, we have the mixture is of people, Jew and non-Jew. And let's say it's nine Jews and one non-Jew. But they are not moving. And they are stationary. The halacha is, it's called kavua. And the principle is, and you're going to hear this again and again throughout Shas, kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. When I have a mixture of one and another, and even though the ratios are, in this particular case, 1 to 9. So that means that there is a 90% chance that you end up killing a Jew. A 10% chance that you killed a non-Jew. Because at the time of the killing, they were not moving and they were stationary. So the principle is that a stationary mixture is always going to be treated like 50-50 regardless of what the actual numbers are. The actual numbers are 9 to 1. But because they were stationary at the time, so it's always going to be treated like 50-50. This is the principle of kol kavul kemechza mechzadami. Let's think about how this now plays itself out in our scenario. A person throws a stone into a crowd. Nine are Jews, one are non-Jew. Did he end up killing a Jew? Probability, I would say, you would say, yeah. Is he subject to the death penalty? Again, probability is yeah, he is subject to the death penalty. Because at the time when one of them died, and we don't know which one, because they were all stationary at the time, we now employ the rule of kol kavua kemechza mechzadami. Therefore, the numbers shift from being 9 to 1 to 5 to 5. And now it's mechza mechza, so we're going to execute somebody based on 50-50? The answer is no. That's what the Chachamim learned from this pasuk. Okay. Where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So we are detailing a fundamental machlokus between the Tanakam and the Rabbi Shimon in terms of when someone is subject to the death penalty. According to the Chachamim, there only needs to be two factors: an intent to kill, and a force strong enough generated in order to kill. According to Rabbi Shimon, there has to be one other factor, and that is that you have to kill your intended recipient, your intended victim. If you end up killing somebody else, you're not going to be chayav misa bide adam. Okay. On this now, the Gemara now notes that they're obviously going to have to disagree about the following pasuk. Now, this pasuk and this scenario we've gone over a number of times together here in the daf. The Torah, the pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim describe a fight between two people. And what happens is that a pregnant woman steps in to try to break up the fight. She gets hit. The Torah gives one of two outcomes. Either she miscarried, which under those circumstances now, the one who hit her is going to have to pay for the Demei Vladus, is going to have to make financial compensation for the loss of the fetus, or she dies, to which the Torah says that the one who hits her is now subject to the death penalty. Now, she was not the intended victim. According to the Chachamim, how does this episode work out? According to the Chachamim, exactly like the Shita of the Chachamim. Even though that wasn't the intended victim, but still, you were intent on killing somebody, you ended up killing her, so therefore you're going to be Chayav Misa. According to Rabbi Shimon, what is he going to be doing with this Pesukim? That's a good question. The Gemara is going to be about to answer that. So, Bishlam al Rabban and Darmin is Kavala Aragazev Aragazev Chayav Dichsi Vichinatsu and Hashim Nagfui Shahara. So the Gemara here now goes to the Pesukim and Mishpatim. So the pregnant woman steps in the middle. And like we said just a couple of days ago, and we're repeating again today, that what kind of fight were they having? It wasn't they were just slapping one another, right? They were actually looking to kill one another. And I know that because the Torah says that if the person dies, so the perpetrator is going to be put to death. So, but according to Rabbi Shimon, what do you do with these psukim? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, if the woman dies, she wasn't the intended victim. She was the guy he was fighting was the intended victim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you, even though you killed somebody, because it wasn't your intended victim, you're not going to be chayv misa. What does he do with these psukim? The Gemara goes on to explain. So the Gemara says, "My avilei mamon uchid de Rebbe." So what he's going to say is that even though the Torah says nefesh tachas nefesh, it means monetary compensation. I'll remind you what we learned together back in the 8th parak of Baba Kama. The Torah says ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. Does that mean an eye for an eye? Of course not. Well, I say of course not because I know the Gemara, because we have Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that it's not eye for an eye, but rather monetary compensation. What Rebbe does over here is says a similar idea, that even though the Torah just says nefesh tachas nefesh, it means monetary compensation. Ditanya Rebbe, Omer menasat nefesh tachas nefesh mamon. Rebbe interprets the pasuk here to mean financial compensation. Ata Omer mamonoeinu ela nefesh mamash nemer nesina lamatav nemer nesina lamala. We're on the very top of Ayin Testament base. Ma la la mamon afka mamon. Just like over there it's money, so too over here it's money. So clearly what you see is that Rebbe understands it to mean mamon. Amar Rav Haidatan de Bechiske mafka midrebi mafka midrabban. So then now the Gemara is going to make a point regarding Tana Bechizkia. So what I'll do here is I'll stop at this point in time. Tana Bechizkia is a very fundamental idea in Halacha. It comes up a number of times. We already covered Tana Bechizkia back on Daf Ayin Beis, not so long ago, about a week ago. But now we're going to see it inside. The Gemara is going to point out that Tana Bechizkia is not going like Rebbe, not going like the Chachamim. I'm going to take a couple extra minutes tomorrow morning just to spell it out a little bit clearer. What have we seen so far today? A fundamental machlokas tanayim, where you hit somebody, an assessment that he's going to die. He experienced a mild recovery and then he dies. Chacham and Reb Nechemia argue in terms of whether or not you're subject to the death penalty. Another fundamental machlokas we saw today is where you had intent to kill, you had enough force to kill, but you end up killing somebody else. Are you subject to the death penalty? Machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, another fundamental machlokas.